Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this very special Strang Report podcast with none other than Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, who is the author of the new book called Harbinger 2, which immediately made the New York Times bestseller list and is being talked about everywhere. And I wanted to do this interview earlier, but really wasn't able to because of time and also because of the return, that big event in Washington, D.C. that, you know, we've reported on in other ways. But today we get to do a deep dive into what is in Harbinger 2 and why did Rabbi Kahn write it. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back. And Rabbi, I am so honored to have you on my podcast. You've been on several times before, always huge, huge numbers. People are interested, of course, in what you have to say. And I'll also say right up at the top that I'm honored to be your publisher. I say that sincerely. And, you know, the fact that the Lord, you know, really used a miracle to have the Harbinger come to us and everything that's happened since then. Maybe you'll want to comment on it. But let me just start by welcoming you and also saying or asking you the question, why did you write Harbinger 2 now?
Yeah. Well, Steve, when I wrote the Harbinger, you know, I always knew there was going to be a sequel. I always knew there was going to be more, because the Harbinger, for those who don't know, is opening up the biblical template of judgment that happened in the Bible. That was not the end of that template. It was the beginning of that template, the appearance of these nine harbingers. It was continuing on. And so I knew that there would be another time when I would have to write, I would write the sequel, but I could not just write it. I could, you know, it's not the kind of book, just like the Harbinger. It's not something I can just say, oh, let me just write something. Let me write this. It's got to be that things are happening. It's got to be that this mystery or this template is continuing. So that's exactly what's happened. You know, the Harbinger is, for those who don't know, to set the groundwork, is the warning. When God warned ancient Israel, the template always began the same way, begins with an enemy strike on the land, a shaking, a wake-up call. It is not the final judgment. It's a warning of what is coming, and it's to wake the nation up. Then comes a period, a window of time, when the nation has a chance to come back to God. Well, we've been in that window. Then there's some things that are going to happen at the end of that window. And that's what I started seeing, the danger of those things happening. So I was praying last year in September. I prayed, Lord, what's the next book? I always pray, what is it? I had some things in my mind, but instead this came and I said, okay, this is something I held, the only book I held off on writing for years. And so I knew I had to do it for 2020. And I also had a very strong sense about 2020 that it was going to be a year of shakings. I spoke about it publicly at the beginning of the year at Beth Israel, the congregation I lead up here. And I spoke about it being a year of dark events and calamities that, you know, and yet God's purposes in them as well. And so I knew I had to write it. And I came to Charisma. I was with you at the beginning of the year. I usually am there like the first or second week of the year. And I said two things. I said, I have two. One is that this is the year I know I have to write the Harbinger 2. And number two, the return, which is also linked all together, because, you know, that this is going to be a year, I believe, a dramatic year. So I started writing the Harbinger 2 in January, and then everything came on America. You know, then we had this year unlike any other year, which is what I had a very strong sense beforehand that this was going to be the continuation of the Harbinger. And so I had to write this. I had to get the word out. I had to warn. I had to open up for those who are his people and those who would listen. So that's how the Harbinger 2, that's the genesis of the Harbinger 2.
Well, it's exciting. And when the manuscript came in, it went to the editor and I immediately asked for a copy. So I believe that I'm the second person to ever read it. It wasn't finished. You added some things about the pandemic, but I was blown away. And I recently reread the whole thing, you know, the final version, of course, partly in preparation for this interview. And I have so many questions, but, sure. You know, one of the things that in all of your books, whether it's The Paradigm, The Oracle, and so forth, you talk about things that are revealed. So I want to ask you the question, what is it that Harbinger 2 reveals?
Well, the questions that it goes into, are we approaching judgment? You know, is an ancient mystery template of the Bible actually replaying in America now? And if so, what is coming and how do we get ready for that? One of the things, Steve, is that when I wrote The Harbinger 8 years ago, or when it came out 8 years ago, I only put in certain things that because there was so much from there that came that I only put what's in The Harbinger is one piece of that. And so I held back on that. So that the first thing is, you know, the Harbinger 2 is kind of in three parts. The first part is called The Unrevealed. And these are some of the mysteries or some things that signs that happened from 9/11, but that are affecting us now. So that's The Unrevealed. The second part is what has happened since The Harbinger came out, because it hasn't stopped. You know, the signs haven't stopped. The progression to judgment hasn't stopped. There's other harbingers that have appeared. So the second part is revealing what's happened since The Harbinger came out up to this very day. And the last part is particularly what is happening now. What is happening now? What is this that has come upon America? And remember, I started this before it happened. But what is happening to America? Is it part of this mystery? Where is it heading? And is there hope? You know, and what do God's people need to know for the days ahead? So it's all that. So it's revealing, I mean, and each thing I just said, I mean, you know it because you read the book, but each thing is filled with all sorts of mystery. We'll probably be able to touch on, just give a taste of them. But that's, so it's what I never revealed, what has happened since, and where we are and where are we going.
Well, let's start about the unrevealed. One of the things that I thought was very interesting was what was behind the Pentagon. Could you just kind of summarize what that is, because you got that revelation with the first Harbinger, but you didn't feel you could unpack it. So just explain what people read in Harbinger 2.
Yeah. Well, one of the templates of judgment in the Bible is that when God shakes a nation or judges a nation, a few things happen. One is that the nation's powers are shaken. And he brings things back to their foundation. And there are scriptures along those lines. But so here's the thing. America, one of America's great powers, of course, is its military power. It has been the military superpower of the world, you know, since World War II. But when did it really begin? Well, it began during World War II when we left isolationism and we entered the war. As we entered that war, that was 1941, a building was begun that paralleled America's rise to military superpower. That was, of course, the Pentagon. So on 9/11, the first thing is that it strikes the Pentagon, which is the symbol of American power. But it wasn't just that. When was the Pentagon begun? The Pentagon was born on September 11th. 9/11 was the day it began. So it was struck on the day of its rising. You know, God says in Scripture, I will break down what I have planted. And one of the things is that not only that, but long before we knew 9/11 as a day of calamity, it was the day of America's rising of its power. And the Pentagon replaced the old War Department building, which had existed for 60 years. If you take the date of the Pentagon's beginning, add 60 years, it takes you to September 11th, 2001. And not only that, Stephen, but there's another major power that America, of course, has been built on, and that's its economic power. That happened much longer before that. Actually, it was always linked to New York City, the center of it. And when did New York City begin? When was it born? When Henry Hudson discovered it? When was that? New York was born on 9/11, September. Henry Hudson, 9/11, September 11th. So here you have the two things. And so the shaking goes to both powers. It goes to New York, to where on the day and the place of where it began, and the power of the military, the place and the day. So what is the warning? The warning is that America's powers come from God, as much as we have followed God. But as much as we now war against him, those powers, if we don't turn back, those powers will crumble. our economic prosperity, and even our military superpower. That is the biblical warning.
I was fascinated with how many things were tied to September 11th. I remember you even talked about the one-year Bible, which I've read through numerous times. Yes. The reading on September 11th just happens to be the scripture in Isaiah 9:10 about the walls falling down. And of course, I'd read it and it went right by me. I didn't see the significance of it. And there was also, and also on September 11th, 2001, there was a reenactment of Henry Hudson coming up Hudson Bay. It was in the morning, you know, right before the towers fell. Of course, it was, you know, they probably were trying to get a little publicity about the history. It was totally overshadowed, of course, by the events of the day. But I just thought that was kind of interesting that they were reenacting it that very morning.
Yeah. This is, I mean, you know, one of the things, Steve, is that it's he brings together the planting and the tearing down. That's in the Bible. And so I'll bring it back to its foundation. So on the day of the attack, when there's a mist, there's clouds over New York City, and the people are looking out to get away, looking into the river, they see this 400-year-old ship, or it's a reproduction of Henry Hudson. It's actually of the day, because it was 9/11. So it's the day of the planting is now the day of the tearing down. And the thing that you mentioned, which I didn't know when I wrote The Harbinger, I had no idea of what you just said, which was, it's in The Harbinger too, but when I wrote it, I didn't know that you know, the scripture for The Harbinger is Isaiah 9:10. You know, it's about the day that the beginning of a nation's judgment and that shaking and the attack of an enemy and the coming down of buildings and the coming down of the tree. Well, Isaiah 9:10, that's the Harbinger scripture. But I had no idea that on that morning, all across America, believers are opening up their Bibles to that scripture of the attack and the beginning of judgment before it happened. And actually, Steve, you know this, but a lot of people don't. The one-year Bible came out about 15 years before 9/11, but it had already identified the date of 9/11 as the date linked to the scripture of the beginning of judgment and the enemy attack. It was all there.
And in a way, it looks like a coincidence. They just took the entire Old Testament, broke it into 365 equal segments, and started January 1st and just went through. And when September 11th came around, it was in Isaiah 9:10. You just have to think that maybe God is up to something.
That's
now,
yeah,
in the
amazing
Jewish tradition, there are readings that go certain days. And what was the scripture that was appointed to be read on the days leading up to September 11th?
Yeah, these are called the parshas, and they're the scrolls that are open up in every synagogue. So just before 9/11, what was that scripture? It was a scripture, it was in Deuteronomy, where Moses is warning the nation of what will happen if you turn away from God. He says, if you follow God, you'll be the most blessed nation. Well, that happened to America. He says, but if you turn away, these things are going to happen. What's going to happen? It says, included, it says, an enemy will come from far away, a faraway land, and will strike you in your gate. Well, the gate of America is New York City. The enemy will come from far away on 9/11. It says he will be brutal. He will, you know, go. It says that there'll be a rain of dust on your land, on you. Well, you know, and of course, this could talk about famine, but on 9/11, literally, it says the enemy will come like an eagle. An eagle, basically, from the sky will come like an eagle. The Hebrew says like an eagle swooping down. Literally, on 9/11, every terrorist came like an eagle swooping down. That's actually a biblical sign of judgment, the swooping eagle. That's mentioned again and again and again. And on the plane that began 9/11, on the back was an image of an eagle swooping down. Literally, that matched the scripture that was appointed. And that is the biblical sign of judgment, all beginning 9/11.
And then also there was something about these scriptures supposed to be read through the night until daybreak or something.
Yes.
Explain that, because apparently the time that they quit reading was the time that the first terrorist plane took off or something like that.
Yeah, these are called the Silichot. And they are actually ancient, well, they're scriptures that are appointed to be read only at a specific time in the year, and it was appointed to be read on the morning of 9/11. And these are scriptures which speak about judgment coming on the nation. and the prayers of mercy, you know, to God, and also prayers of repentance to God. And it's appointed, linked to, it's got to be finished just like before the sun comes up or the dawn. And when you trace that, it was there. They were saying all these things. It talks about the enemy coming and the first strike and then the second attack and all these things. That's it. It's in the Harbinger too. The details are there. But all these things that happened, and just as they finished, as exactly you said, it happens. And the other thing that had to be done, Steve, at that time, that was done that morning, is the ancient alarm of God. The ancient alarm in the Bible is the watchman's trumpet, the shofar. And it just so happened that it was appointed in the morning of 9/11, not only the scriptures of judgment, but also the sounding of the alarm, which what is, when you heard that sound, that it was telling you that the enemy was coming to attack the city. That's what it did. And so literally on 9/11, all over the Northeast, the ancient alarm of the Bible starts sounding before the attack, before anybody knew. And it actually, as you were, it's actually also linked to the dawn and the sunrise. So when you follow it, actually, it first started, you know, the 9/11 started in Maine when those terrorists began their first flight in Maine. Well, Maine is where first the sun rose, and it's also where the trumpet started in Maine, just as the terrorists were coming, were in the airport. Then the trumpet starts sounding in Boston. The terrorists come to Boston. Then the trumpet starts sounding in New York City as the sun, and then they go to New York City, and then the trumpet starts sounding in Washington. So it all finally, they start sounding around 6:30 in the morning. They end about 10:30. The last event of 9/11 was the fall of the North Tower. It happened just about 10:29. And then the trumpets that were sounding from the beginning, they stopped sounding because they were appointed at that very minute.
You know, you also write about an image that appeared in New York City. What was that image?
Yeah, this is in the realm of things that have happened since the Harbinger. And, you know, one of the things, Steve, in the last days of ancient Israel, one of the signs of judgment coming is that images start appearing in the land, images of the gods, you know, all over. Actually, the prophet Ezekiel is taken to the Temple Mount. He says, what do you see? He said, I saw the image. And then God says, okay, now judgment's coming. Well, you know, now America would never admit to worshiping other gods, but it does, but we would never admit it. But literally, an image of a god went up in New York City. It had to be the largest false god on planet Earth. The head alone was about 300 feet. And it was projected onto the Empire State Building. And it was the god Kali, which is the god of darkness. So here you have this massive, you know, this massive image. It's kind of made the Empire State Building an idol itself of this god of darkness. You know, the Bible says, woe to those who call evil good and who put light for darkness. Literally, America was putting light, projecting light to create the god of darkness. And the god of Kali is also the god of death and destruction. So here was this image over New York City, death and destruction. And on that very day, it was Saturday, when they put that up, there was an appointed scripture to be read that day. They opened the scrolls all around New York City in the synagogues. And what is the scripture? It's God warning the nation, do not make an image or this will lead to judgment.
You know, when I read that, I'd never heard of Kali. I don't know very much about Hinduism. I just don't. I Googled it and there were the pictures. Yeah. And the top of the Empire State Building is kind of strangely shaped, you know, I guess for design reasons. Yeah. And that image just fit into it perfectly. It almost looked like it was made that way.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Whenever that happened, I didn't watch the news that day because I had not a clue. But yet it fit in so well with the Harbinger. How do you figure these things out?
Well, I don't know that I figure them out, but you know, the Lord, you know, if I had to reproduce, Steve, any of the books, if I had to reproduce them, I couldn't, because it just starts, you know, something comes to me or some, and then comes the next thing and the next thing, and whatever I need, the next thing comes, or the next clue or the next word or something appears on my computer that I wasn't looking for, but it was the answer. So I believe the Lord just leads, you know, he just leads. And then the more I go, and then sometimes things just come on my mind and I don't know if it's real, but then I go to the web and I check it and it's real. So that's it. Yeah. That most people see probably didn't see that, but anybody can Google that. You Google Kali Empire State Building, you're going to see it. And it's a pretty surreal, a kind of scary looking image. It's dripping blood. You know, it's the god of destruction over the city.
Let's talk about the pandemic. Is there an ancient mystery behind the pandemic that's changed all of our lives?
Yeah, let me set that up in this way. You know, the overall template of the Harbinger, and now what's revealed in the Harbinger 2 is, again, and this is classic biblical template. First is the strike of the enemy contained. This is the shaking, initial strike warning. Then comes the window of time for a nation to come back or not come back and head to judgment. Then at the end of that window comes shakings. And so one of the things is that in the Harbinger, in the original book, The Harbinger, if you look, I don't know if you had to, you look at, there's a chapter called Things to Come. And in that book, it talks about the shakings that will come. And one of them is a nation becomes divided, which is happening. The civil disorder, it's happening. The breakdown of infrastructure, it's happening. Economic, you know, deterioration, it's happening. And more, but those things are happening. But the question also is that how long is the period? In the Harbinger, the original book, it asks the question. In the Harbinger 2, it answers it. But the question is, how long does it take between that first strike and then the greater shakings that come after the window, the greater shakings that come on the land? And the answer is that in ancient Israel, Jerusalem was attacked in 605 BC. That was the first strike, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Then the full weight of the shakings come upon the nation in the year 586 BC. How many years? 19 years. So take 2001, 9/11, add the 19 years, and what does it pinpoint as the year of the shakings? 2020 would be the year. So Steve, for years, I was looking at this year. I mean, for years, I was looking at the year and say, and not that God has to, not that it has to happen, but I said, Lord, if it goes according to the template, then 2020 is going to be the year of shakings, of great shakings. So it is. And in fact, Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, when he spoke about what was going to happen in that year in his nation, the 19th year of his nation after the strike, he spoke also about a plague coming on the land, a pandemic coming on the land. And even the name, you know, God, you know, even the name of the plague, it's COVID-19, linked to judgment. So there is an amazing, you know, I think it's the largest chapter in the book, Steve, which is called The Plague, about what's happened. This is the beginning of the shakings. And is it possible, you know, is there, you know, in the Bible, when Jeremiah spoke of the plague, he said it would come upon the nation because specifically because of many sins, but specifically what the nation did to its children. If anything invokes judgment, it's the offering up of children. Well, Israel lifted up thousands. We have lifted up millions in abortion, 60 million children, more than that. The world has, by the way, this generation has killed more children around the world than any in history, but America has been at the head of this, leading other nations. And so so one of the things, there's so many parallels and eerie parallels, but I'll just mention a few. One is that the day that, you know, they identified the first case, official case of this disease, this plague in America, he was patient zero. The next day it was broadcast to America all over the newspapers. They had headlines and they had a date next to the headlines. The date was January 22nd. January 22nd is the day that America legalized the killing of children, Roe versus Wade. So that's the day that it went across. It also says in Jeremiah that the weight of the plague will come back to the place where the children's blood were shed. What is the capital of abortion in America? It's New York. It's New York City. More children have been killed there. And where has there been more death than anywhere else? Even to this day, it was New York, without any question. It came in. But also, there's another thing in Jeremiah where he cries out and he says, is there any balm of Gilead? We all know the scripture and we like to quote it. It's a nice thing, the balm of Gilead. But what he was doing is he's crying out because there's judgment coming on the nation. He's saying, is there any cure for this? Is there any healing for this? And he's talking about the judgment that came because of what they did to the children. Well, America has been seeking for a cure to this pandemic, you know, ever since. And in the spring, a company came out with a cure, a little cure. The stock market went up 500 points, big news. What was the name of the company? The name of the company was
Gilead. I read the book.
Literally, the bomb of Gilead from that. I mean, there's much more, but I'll just mention one other thing. And that is that that, you know, we've spoken before about the Jubilee, and the Oracle, of course, speaks about the Jubilee and the positive thing. But there's a negative part, and that is if you took something that didn't belong to you, and the Jubilee, it's restitution, it's taken away from you. Well, America years ago took something that didn't belong to it, and that's it, it took life. And the thing is that the year that abortion on demand began in America wasn't 1973. It was 1970, when particularly New York spread it to the nation. And so when was 1970? So when's the Jubilee of abortion? 2020. And so what was taken is now taken. And when you look at the exact date that New York approved abortion on demand, it was two dates, April 9th and April 10th. What they did a study to see when was the thrust of the plague on New York. And they found two dates, April 9th and April 20th, 50 years to the exact days.
That's incredible. There are so many things in the Harbinger 2, too many to mention. I mean, I have the copy here. We're doing a video of this too, and I'm showing the cover. It's 300 pages long. I enjoyed every single paragraph. And a lot of what I enjoyed personally was just these very interesting coincidences, let's say. And one that I want to, as we kind of wrap up the podcast, I want you to talk about is the island that is in Boston Harbor, number one, and then Governor's Island, which is also on Boston Harbor. Tell us about that and how that fits in with the Harbinger 2.
Yes, that is... one of the one who's considered to be the beyond, you know, Washington is considered the father. This one's considered the grandfather, and that's John Winthrop. He's the Puritan who really founded Massachusetts Bay, or he was the governor. And he gave that famous vision, the first vision of America, really, which was the city on the hill. You know, Reagan quoted from Winthrop, you know, he said, if we follow God, we'll be the greatest, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but we will be blessed with all the blessings of Israel, we'll be lifted up. Well, it happened. But people miss as he gave the warning. He's the first one really to give a prophetic warning at the very beginning of America. And he said, people miss this. But if we turn away from our God, then basically he says the judgments that came on Israel are going to come upon us. And you know, Steve, I wasn't reading about Winthrop when I wrote the Harbinger, but the Harbinger 2, and all these things are saying that the judgments, the patterns of judgment that came on Israel are coming upon us. Well, Winthrop was kind of prophesying that way back then. Well, the thing is that what happened to Winthrop? He was the governor of Massachusetts Bay, and he dwelt on an island, as you said, right off of Boston. And he prayed there, and he wrote there, he did all these things there. And it was Winthrop's Island, called Governor's Island because he was the governor. It was Winthrop's Island. What happened to it? The island of John Winthrop became, the ground of that island became the ground of Logan Airport. Logan Airport is the airport from which 9/11 began. It began from his island. It began, the man who warned America what would happen if it turned away from God. And so on that day, from his exact soil, the one who warned us, it happens. You know, Steve, you know this, but that on the other end of this, you have Ground Zero. That was also a mystery. It's where America was dedicated to God by George Washington, the first government. But it began on the island of John Winthrop, and each one is linked to the warning, and the warning that if we turn away from God, we will head to judgment, and we're watching the shaking. At the same time, to say that the Harbinger 2 is also a book of hope. At the end, it talks about how do we need to stand in the days to come. So, when people ask, what do I believe is coming? I believe, is it going to be judgment or is it going to be revival? I believe you can have both. I believe you can actually have, I think the shakings are not over, and you can have great shakings, and yet through it can come revival, lights in the darkness for those who will stand.
Well, that's a good segue into my last question, to talk about the return, which was magnificent, in my opinion, every way you can measure it. It exceeded expectations. I was so honored to have a small part in it, and I was very, very deeply moved. And you felt that it was significant. I mean, you're really the visionary for that. Of course, a lot of people participated. What do you think was accomplished at the return?
I believe we did what God had called us to do, in which He really commands and orders His people, calls them to do, which is if my people, you know, which we all know, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face. We did. We came first. It wasn't pointing the finger. We came first in repentance for the church, in repentance for each of us. Then we prayed for America and intercede for America, then for the nations, and then for revival. You know, in the middle of it, I gave a prophetic word, you know, and as I'm doing this, I think, Steve, you were out there, but it started thundering, you know, as I was doing it. And then at the end, we were praying on our knees and the sun came out, you know, but the Lord was there. And also the president proclaimed this as the day of the return. All these things happened. I believe, Steve, that we did, you know, listen, we saw literally from the counts we were given that there were literally millions of people watching and partaking all around America and all around the world. That floored me, that stunned me. But so that, you know, there were salvations, there was repentance, all that. But I think more important is even, if I can say more important, even what we don't see. Because I remember, you know, when the, like, Washington for Jesus and, you know, back then, but that I remember that God's greatest work will be seen in time in what is yet to come. I believe He lit the fires in the spiritual realm beyond anything we see, and that's going to continue, and that's going to light up and ignite at the time of its happening. So I believe we will see the full power of it. But we repented, we came before God, we did everything He asked, and we did it with people did it with tears, and people did it on their knees, and people did it on their faces. It was real, and it was all across the world. And that our God is faithful, and He will hear our prayers. So I believe we will see more than I'm amazed by what we see, but what we have not seen, I believe, will even be greater.
Well, it's an amazing book, and it's already resonating with people really all over the world. You know, I mentioned earlier it made the New York Times bestseller list. For you, that's not a surprise. But I could just say as the publisher that this is exceeding all the previous books. It's been on the New York Times list for a number of weeks, and I hope it's for weeks and weeks and weeks like Harbinger One was. But we haven't told people yet how to get the book. So why don't you tell the listeners how they can get Harbinger Two and read it for themselves, because it's got kind of a surprise ending, but we don't want to reveal the surprise ending, do we?
Yeah. An ending that I've never had in any book, and even an image that I've never put in any book, too. Yeah. The Harbinger 2 is available, literally, first of all, everywhere from, you know, online, Amazon, everything online, as well as offline. Walmart will have it. It'll be everywhere. Plus, you can go, I mean, so you can get it right now online. You can also go to the Harbinger Returns. It's a special website, theharbingerreturns.com, that Charisma has, and that'll tell you all about it. But also, I'd encourage you not only to think about yourself, and I mean, to get it for yourself, but you'll be blessed. But if you know people in your life who need to know, or need to be awake, need to be ready, need to be woken up, saved or unsaved, get it for them as well.
And also, it's available on Kindle and other electronic books, as well as audio. A lot of people, you know, if you're going on a trip, this would be a great book to take with you. And it'd be a great gift for anyone. And you won't be disappointed. I promise you won't be disappointed. The book is that good. And thank you, Rabbi Kahn, for, being obedient to the Lord. You know, you could have just shared these truths with Beth Israel there in New Jersey and probably blessed people and so forth, but you didn't. You stepped out in faith and shared it with the world. And I'm just thankful that we had a small part in what God is doing and is going to continue to do, because really, this is not about selling books.
No.
This is about what's happening in America, and we're trying to communicate, and a book is a very good way to communicate something like this, even more than a sermon, in a way, because you can, you know, it's thought out, it's edited, of course, and to read a book like this takes 6 or 8 hours, but it's 6 or 8 hours that is well spent time. So as we wrap up this version, this edition of the Strang Report, let me give you the last word.
Well, first of all, thank you, Steve, because it's not a small part. It's a big part to get the word out. You know, I can do the word, but you're getting it out. And we know it was, for those who don't know, it was literally a miracle, supernatural thing that brought all this together. So thank you. It is so important. You know, I believe these are momentous times, critical times, truly. We've never had a time like this. And I believe it's more important than ever that we be strong. I'm talking to every believer out there, that we do whatever you have to do in your life. Listen, you know, do it. Whatever God's calling you to, do it. Don't say tomorrow. Whatever you have to get out of your life, do it today. Revival begins with each of us, you know, and it, not just pray for revival. Yes, we got to pray as never before, but actually live in revival. And I believe this could be our greatest times, because when the dark gets darker, the lights of God shine brighter. And so that's what God is calling you to do. That's what God's calling me to do. But this could be our, this is like the book of Acts, you know, that when we see all these things happening, this is our time to shine. And so, you know, God said, as I kind of closed on, I believe as I was getting to the near the end of the word at the return, but it just came to me right now, but the Lord says to you, I'm talking to everybody out there, you who are people of God, arise and shine. Your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness covers the nations, but the Lord's glory will be upon you. So God says to you, rise and shine in the power of his might.
Well said. And thank you again for being on my podcast. I'm going to encourage my listeners to share this far and wide. A lot of people need to listen, people who hopefully will also read Harbinger 2. And in the process of you sharing these things, people find out about the Strang Report, and that's why I'm almost to 5 million downloads this year, is because people tune in every day to hear the podcast and to share it with others. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Rabbi Khan. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.